We appreciate the opportunity to present our views on the renewable fuel standard today. We represent all sectors of America's oil and natural gas industry. We employ 9.2 million Americans, are responsible for 7.7% of all the gross domestic product in the United States, and contribute $86 million a day to the federal treasury. API's more than 500 member companies include many of our nation's refiners, who are critical to our U.S. national and economic security. U.S. refiners support over 500,000 jobs, provide the vital products that Americans rely on daily. It is these refiners who shoulder the principal responsibility for meeting the RFS requirements. Over the past 7 years, the RFS laws passed in 2005 and in 2007 have substantially expanded the role of renewables in America. Biofuels are now almost all gasoline. While API supports the continued appropriate use of ethanol and other renewable fuels, the RFS law has become increasingly unrealistic, unworkable, and a threat to consumers. It needs an overhaul. Most of the problems relate to the law's volume requirements. These mandates call for blending increasing amounts of renewable fuels into gasoline and diesel. Although we are already close to blending an amount that would result in a 10% concentration level of ethanol in every gallon of gasoline sold in America, that which is the maximum known safe level, the volumes required will more than double over the next 10 years. The E10 or 10% ethanol blend that we consume today could, by virtue of RFS volume requirements, become at least an E20 blend in the future. This would present an unacceptable risk to billions of dollars in consumer investment in vehicles, a vast majority of which were designed, built, and warranted to operate on a maximum blend of E10. It also would put at risk billions of dollars of gasoline station equipment and thousands of retail outlets across America, most owned by small independent businesses. I believe well over 60% of all retail establishments in this area are ma and pa operations. The research on higher ethanol blends, including testing performed by DOE's National Renewable Energy Laboratory, shows an estimated half of existing service station pumping equipment may not be compatible with just a 15% ethanol blend, or E15. Vehicle research conducted by the Auto Oil Coordinating Research Council shows that E15 could also damage the engines of millions of cars and light trucks, estimates exceeding 5 million vehicles on the road today. E20 blends may have similar, if not worse, compatibility issues with engines and service station attendants. Automobile manufacturers, who I believe you'll hear from in the second panel, now advise car owners not to exceed the 10% blend amount. They say damage to an engine caused by higher concentrations may not be covered by warranties. EPA's premature approval of E15 thus raises substantial product liability issues, and we'd like to thank Mr. Shimkus for his leadership, as mentioned by Mr. Petrowski, in looking at that liability question to help make it more feasible to introduce these products into the market. Despite the warning signs, EPA has already approved the sale of E15. Apparently, EPA finds it acceptable to let the market, including consumers, sort out any problems that may arise, whatever the cost. The RFS law also requires increasing use of cellulosic ethanol, an advanced form of ethanol that can be made from a broader range of feedstocks. The problem is, you can't buy the fuel yet because no one is making it commercially. While EPA could waive that provision, it has decided to require refiners to purchase credits for this non-existent fuel, which will drive up costs and potentially hurt consumers. Mandating the use of fuels that do not exist is absurd on its face and is inexcusably bad public policy. Another problem with implementation of the RFS is how EPA is handling fraudulent renewable federal fuel credits, known as RINs, that some refiners have purchased in good faith under a program that the EPA created. We believe there's a solution and a resolution to this challenge. We're working closely with EPA to fix it at this time. Thank you for the opportunity to share our views. As mentioned, we believe biofuels are an important part of our nation's energy mix, but the current law and its implementation is increasingly problematic, could hurt consumers. We need to fix it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gerard. Mr. Dineen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is a timely hearing. Continued volatility in crude oil markets, last spring's near-record gasoline prices, threats by hostile nations to shut down key oil shipping routes, new concerns about the environmental impacts of hydraulic fracking and tar sands, these issues and others underscore our nation's desperate need to recommit to an energy future that embraces alternative transportation fuels and vehicles. An energy future that is truly all of the above, not just finite resources from below. One important alternative fuel, ethanol, is already helping to address these national concerns. America's ethanol industry, buttressed by a visionary renewable fuel standard, is already decreasing our reliance on foreign oil, already exerting downward pressure on gasoline prices, already employing tens of thousands of American workers, and already cleaning up our air. As a result of the forward-looking nature of the RFS, the industry is poised to make even more significant contributions to our nation's economic and environmental security in the future. Simply put, the RFS is among the most successful energy policies this nation has ever adopted. It is working exactly as intended. It most certainly does not need an overhaul. As Congressman Shimkus had noted in his opening, from an energy security standpoint, the RFS is most definitely demonstrating its success. As he noted, when the bill passed in 2005, our nation was 60% dependent on imported oil for liquid transportation fuels. Today, as a consequence of the growth in ethanol, as a consequence that ethanol now represents 10% of our nation's motor fuel supply, as a consequence of the RFS, we are just 45% dependent on imported oil. We have increased the production of oil in this country, and that is true. Over the last couple of years, that is true. But 80% of the increased domestic production of liquid transportation fuels has been ethanol since 2005. It is absolutely ethanol that has driven those numbers to where they are today. I will tell you that I absolutely agree with many of you that we need to have an all-of-the-above, all-energy sources, energy policy in this country. But I will also tell you that we cannot frack our way to energy independence. A study that EIA produced a short while ago said that if you take the two largest shale plays in this country, the Bakken Fields and Eagle Ford in Texas, that that would get you 7 billion barrels of oil. Big amount, absolutely. But when put in context of our oil needs in this country, that represents 1 year and 4 months of supply. I will tell you that the need for domestic renewable fuels will outlive the current fracking frenzy. Ethanol today is already having a tremendous impact, driving down the price of gasoline. Mr. Shimkus noted a study that had been done by Iowa State and the University of Wisconsin that concluded ethanol is helping to reduce gasoline prices by $1.09 a gallon when you look at last year's prices. But you don't like the Iowa State study? How about a Louisiana State study in the home of oil country that concluded ethanol was helping to drive down the price of gasoline by some 84 cents a gallon when you look at 2011? Without a doubt, because ethanol is less expensive than gasoline today, because ethanol is displacing the need for 10% of our nation's imports, we are having a tremendous impact on gasoline prices. Let me just say as well, one of the principal objectives of the RFS was to drive investment in new technologies. It is also doing that. Not as quickly as anyone would like, but I will tell you that nobody anticipated the economic collapse of 2008 and the consequent freeze on lending that occurred. But the next generation of biofuels facilities is happening today. There are four cellulosic plants that are under construction today in states like Florida, in Kansas, in Iowa and elsewhere. There are other biofuels operations that are moving forward as well. I look forward to working with this committee to talking about some more of the issues that have arisen already, perhaps in questions, and I appreciate the continued interest of this committee to move this nation's energy policy forward. But I do trust that that means all energy sources, because we need them all. Thank you.